Who's our second speaker from DC, Brenda A.
I'm Brenda, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. And it is so wonderful to be here and to see so many addicts in one room. It's just amazing. You know, before I get it started, I didn't know. I knew that the lady who was going to speak, her name was Michelle. But I didn't know that this lady, till I walked coming in the room, that she was my stepdaughter. God is awesome. Yeah. He is just awesome. You know, I came from a family who I had a stepfather who used to say to me all the time, you're nothing, and you never will be nothing. I grew up believing that. I grew up from my mom neglecting me because he was the one who was so domineering, and my mom was the very quiet one. She never spoke up for me. You know, when he used to say, you damn dummy, you know, I used to say, why don't she say something? You know, but she never did. And it was hard living in that house with that man and my mama never saying anything. It was hard. When time came for me to be introduced to dropping pills, drinking liquor, and smoking crap, I was right. I was right for it. Because all those feelings that I had inside of me, I had to do something. And liquor was one of them. And we say alcohol is a drug, and it is. So I was not the one that he used to tell me, my stepfather used to tell me, you're going to be just like your sister. I had an older sister who got pregnant at the age of 13, and he kicked her out. So I was constantly told that I was going to be like her, you know. And in my mind, I used to say, no, I'm not. I'm not going to have any children and treat them like you treat me. I vowed, I made up my mind that that's not going to happen to me. My first and only child I had at the age of 25. And I still was not ready for him because I was into my addiction by then. You know, I got in touch with crack cocaine after I had thought that I knew how to handle alcohol and dropping pills. I thought, you know. But I had to have something more. You know, I had to have something to kick me off a little more. So I was introduced to crack cocaine. Oh, yes, that's it right there. And oh, did it take me for a ride. See, I'm the type of person, I love being clean and looking good. I love my house looking good and smelling good. I had it where, when you walked in my apartment, my floors were so shiny you could see the reflection on the floor. you know. But in the end, the floors were dingy and dirty. Clothes, dirty clothes, was piled up in the corner. And my only child, my son, oodles and noodles for dinner. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Because I didn't have money to buy a three-course meal. And even if I did, I'd take it, not use. You know. And he used to say to me, "Mama, when are we going to have some fried chicken? When are you going to make some of that good spaghetti and meatballs?" You know, I'm going to get it. I'll get it. Don't worry. But as soon as I got money in my pocket, you know, had to do what I had to do. So he's back with oodles and noodles, you know. Left an apartment, I had to, and wound up being in a one-rooming house. And in that one-rooming house, there was a guy who lived next door to me. And we had shared bathroom and shared kitchen. So I would go down in the kitchen and I'd fix our dinner, fix something to eat for us, and he would come down and he would talk to me, you know, start a conversation and stuff. And I just thought that this man took an interest in me, you know. But the man I didn't know at that time was in recovery. And I had no idea that this man was the reason for him to come into my life like he did. So, you know, he asked me, "Brenda, would you like to go out with me?" I looked at him, good looking guy. Hell yeah. You know. So, okay, I get all dolled up and smelling fresh and all, and, you know, and get in the car and he drives up to this church. And I'm saying, I said, "Wait a minute, he didn't say nothing about going to church." So I said, "No, I'm just going to follow along with him, right? Because I'm into the guy." So we get in the church down in the basement, and I see other people coming in, and people talking and laughing and drinking coffee, and, you know, and all of a sudden I hear, in a time, I looked at him, I said, "This man brought me to a car." I thought we were going to go out and we were going to wine and dine, and he even brought me to a car. So when they said, "If you have any drugs from paraphernalia on you, please take it outside and come back in and listen to a message of hope." And I said to myself, "Y'all got to be out your damn mind. Okay, I'm gonna take myself outside. I ain't budge." And I had a 50 in my pocket. So this man was an angel that God put in my life. This man did everything that he could to save me. We got into a relationship. It wasn't intended to be that way, but it did. It happened. And I stole his rent money. He was a treasurer at a meeting. I stole the fellowship money. Every time that I stole or took something from him, he pulled me back. He tried everything he could until one time he went up in the meeting and he was talking about me. And y'all told him that my disease is stronger than his recovery. That he had to let me go. You know, and I can imagine it was very, very hard for him. But he had to look out for his own recovery. So he told me he had to let me go. Now, I'm the kind of addict. No man quits me. I quit them. Okay? So I said, you know, you got to be out your mind. You don't do that to me. You know? And I was so angry with him. You know, I guess it was that face thing. I don't know. I was just so angry with him. You know, so angry that I just wanted to badly harm him. I had thoughts of going to his house and setting his house on fire while he was in bed asleep. I had thoughts of bombing his place. Now, where would I get a bomb from? But I wanted to hurt him. You see? So, you know, me and my crazy thinking, I'll fix him. You know? So I'm in this meeting, and I noticed this newcomer. You know? And I noticed he kept coming back. You know? And by then, my love Jones was kicking. So I went up to this newcomer and I said, well, I just got to try to see. I went up to this newcomer and I said, pardon me, would you mind having sex with me with no strings attached? And he looked at me, he said, why, sure. And it was on. It was on. But the thing was, it turned into a relationship again. You know, and I did not realize then how harmful I had hurt this newcomer. I did not give him time to grow. I didn't give him time to smell N.A. You know, of course he knew some people in here, but he did not, because he relapsed. And I had always felt on my heart that I was the cause of it. But the reality was, he relapsed because he wanted to relapse. And that's what I had to come to grips with. Though I know that being a newcomer, you have to treat them so gentle. Yeah. And you've got to give them so much love. Yeah. You know? I'm dealing with a situation today. And y'all pardon me, but I feel like it's going to come. The tears. My mom is 87 years old, and she's in the stage, her early stage of dementia. And I have a sister who lives in North Carolina, and one that lives in Clinton, and I live in D.C. My mom lives in D.C. I need to share with you, tell you that I had to go through 10 years of treatment, therapy, about the hurts, about the resentments that were so embedded in me. 10 years. And I didn't mind it at all, because I was feeling like I was freeing myself. I was getting free. I don't have to walk around with this anymore. but it was still hard for me to go to my mom's house because I hate that house. I hate going there and remembering all the hurts and the agonies and, you know, you're nothing, you're nothing, you'll never be nothing, you know. I hate it. But my mom is in need of help. So my sister calls me and she said, Brenda, we got a plan. We thought that if you didn't mind, you go to mama's house for 5 days a week and we'll pay you $100 a week to do it. Because I was a nurse before I injured myself. So I knew about taking care of the elders. And I know about having dementia, you know. I know about all of that because I work with them, you know. I have a compassion for elders. Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to her on the phone, okay. I'm listening to her on the phone and my mind and in my heart I'm saying, oh my God, I don't want to do this. Why me, God? Why me? You know? But God said, you went all through this treatment and you said that you had worked on something. Now work it. Now work it. I know my mom needs me. So I sat down and I was reading my spiritual readings and God put in front of me that you can't get blessed unless you are willing to help someone in need. I immediately became willing. I'm going to see my mom when I get back. And I'm going to give her the best person that she ever had. The best daughter, you know. I want to thank you so much for being here for me and allowing me to share. And Bonnie, I love you, Shigan. Thank you. God bless you all.
Good job.